May the dear Lord remember us each now as we gather together in our homes on this Lord's Day evening to come to worship him. We commence this service with hymn 333. Hymn 333. The 333rd hymn. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. What though Satan's strong temptations vex and tease thee day by day, and thy sinful inclinations often fill thee with dismay, thou shalt conquer through the Lamb's redeeming blood. Though 10,000 ills beset thee from without and from within, Jesus says he'll ne'er forget thee, but will save from hell and sin. He is faithful to perform his gracious word. Though distresses now attend thee, and thou treads the thorny road, his right hand shall still defend thee. Soon he'll bring thee home to God. Therefore praise him, praise the great Redeemer's name. Oh, that I could now adore him, like the heavenly host above, who forever bow before him, and unceasing sing his love. Happy songsters, when shall I your chorus join? We read together from the Holy Word of God, again from the book of Job, chapter 38. The book of Job, reading chapter 38. From the book of Job, chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. When wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of a womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the deep? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as the darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazaroth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go, and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the ravens his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, most holy, most gracious, we come before thee now. We bow before thee now. We would draw nigh unto thee now. O Lord, draw nigh unto us, where'er we may be found, Lord, on this Lord's Day evening, may Jesus himself draw near and come with us. O Lord, remember us, be mindful of us, be gracious unto us. O look thou upon us. Lord, we are but poor sinners. And yet, Lord, as we gather tonight, though unable to gather together in thine earthly courts, we gather in our homes. And, oh Lord, we would gather. Oh, may it be at the feet of Jesus. Oh, to be found like Mary of old, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him. Yet, Lord, we would confess, so often we have that Martha-like spirit, encumbered about much serving, troubled over many things. Oh, how often we need that loving rebuke, that we also might sit quietly at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. We would be thankful for another opportunity to meet around thy word, another opportunity granted to us, we humbly trust, to hear the gospel. And, O Lord, do remember us, that thou knowest, Lord, all about us, at our sitting and our uprisings. Thou art acquainted with all of our ways and our spiritual needs as well as our providential needs. And, O Lord, may there be found needy souls tonight, in need of the gospel, in need of the Lord Jesus, in need of the way of life, in need of salvation, in need of mercy, in need of pardon, in need of forgiveness, in need of that blood which does for sin atone, in need of that spotless robe of righteousness. Oh, in need of a revelation of the Lord Jesus to their souls, in need to hear the good shepherd's voice, in need to hear the voice of the beloved. Oh, in need of a touch, in need of a token. Oh, in need of help. Oh, in need of comfort. In need of strength. In need of encouragement. In need of provision. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the needs of thy people, that thou art able to supply every need. Oh, how the apostle could write. And surely by blessed experience of things handled, tasted, known and felt, that my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My every need he richly will supply. So help us, Lord, to look to thee, the covenant-keeping God, the faithful God, the good God, the true God, the living God, the prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. For there is none like unto thee, almighty in the heavens, with heaven and earth at his command. He waits to answer prayer. And yet, Lord, we must confess, we often keep thee waiting for our hardness of heart, our unbelief, our doubts and our fears, our diffidence, our worldliness, leaning to and looking to an arm of flesh, going down to Egypt for help, and prove that there is none to help. Or then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Or then at last to him they cry. O Lord, we so often keep thee waiting. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto thee. Oh, he will hear thee when thou dost cry unto him. Blessed are all they that wait for him. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. O Lord, we would further confess how often our poor prayers are lukewarm, half-hearted. O Lord, we lack that earnestness. Oh, we lack that spirit of wrestling prayer. We lack that sense of urgency. We lack that sense of real, felt, pressing need. Oh, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. How often we fear and tremble that we might be likened to the church we read of at Laodicea. They have become materially rich and felt they had need of nothing. Knew not that they were miserable, poor, blind, and so on. In a lukewarm state, neither hot nor cold. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, grant us, Lord, grace to repent of all our sins, to repent of our lukewarmness, our carelessness, our worldliness. Oh, for grace to overcome. Him that overcometh. Oh Lord, so often we're overcome ourselves, overcome by the temptations, overcome by the tempter, overcome by the world, overcome by self, overcome by unbelief, overcome by doubts and fears, overcome by our own reasoning and our own understanding and our own wisdom and our own thoughts. And we prove like the tribe of Gad of old, Gad, a troop shall overcome him. But blessed be God, it doesn't end there. For we also read that he shall overcome at last. Oh, what a word of encouragement to any dear souls who feel to be overcome. Lord, increase faith. Faith to look to thee. Oh, to overcome by faith, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Oh Lord, by thy almighty grace, that we might truly overcome and to be conquerors at last through him that loved us and gave himself for us. So Lord, do remember each and every one and attend to every case, supply every need and bless each soul. Lord, should there be found those listening yet dead in trespasses and in sins, indifferent, careless, unconcerned as to their eternal standing, their eternal state, Lord, in mercy, awaken and quicken and call by thy grace. Oh, send thy word into their heart as that conviction of sin, that they might begin to be in want. O Lord, do empty and do deal with. Lord, have mercy, pluck them as brands from the burning. Those in that mad career of sin, Lord, call by thy grace. O Lord, arrest that man. O Lord, in these sad, dark, evil, solemn days in which we live, we see so much of Satan's work. And the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And what havoc Satan has made of the lives of many. And all around us we see Satan's work and the effect of Satan's work. Lord, it is our grief that we fail to see so little of thy work. Oh, how we long to see thy work within our own hearts and without in the hearts and lives of many others. Lord, let thy work appear. Oh, to behold the work of Christ, the work of God. Lord, at this time of year, many seeds are being sown in hope of a harvest. And yet, before the harvest comes, oh, how we long to see those little shoots, those seedlings, those signs of life. We thank thee for it. But how much more so, Lord? Oh, whether it's those plants that the Heavenly Father's planting, oh, to see those signs of spiritual life, divine life, eternal life. Lord, again we beg, let thy work appear. It must be God's work. All of grace, all of God. Oh, Lord, we look to thee. Have mercy, we pray. Lord, remember us at this time in the events which have overtaken the world from this virus which has spread, affecting now so many nations, so many people, and thousands upon thousands are being hastened into eternity. The day of death suddenly coming. Oh, Lord, rule and overrule. Oh, Lord, who believe that God is in control, even of these things which have come to pass. Oh, to trust in a wise and gracious God. Oh, Lord, who have mercy upon thy people. For truly, Lord, we are ripe for judgment. We have sinned, we have erred, we have backslidden, we have hardened our heart, we have rebelled. Lord, we beg thy mercy. Oh, judgment surely has begun in the house of God. And now thy judgment's abroad in the land and the nations. Oh, Lord, who have mercy, we pray, and would it yet please thee to arise and stay the plague, for thou alone art able, and vain is the help of man. Lord, we would remember all afflicted and sick and dying. Oh, have mercy, Lord, we pray. We pray especially for the household of faith, those who love and fear thy name, those perhaps who are suffering. Lord, remember them. Oh, have mercy. We pray for those in bereavement, sadness and loss and grief, and comfort their hearts. Oh, Lord, may there be a stirring up amongst thy people. Oh, a stirring up of confession of our sins, personal, collective, national, our many, many, many sins wherein we have sinned against thee. Oh, Lord, we would confess all of our sins. How Daniel, in his prayer, has recorded, oh, how he confessed his sins and the sins of his people and the sins of the children of Israel, their fathers who had done such wicked things. Oh, what a prayer of confession. Lord, teach us also to confess our sins unto thee. May there be supplication. Oh, to supplicate thy mercy, thy help, thy intervention. Oh, Lord, grant us that spirit of wrestling prayer. I will not let thee go till thou bless me. Lord, we do fear, and we have been guilty of it ourselves. So often we let go. Jacob said, I will not let thee go. Oh, Lord, so often we, through hardness of heart and unbelief and all our doubts and fears, we let go. Oh, forgive us. Grant us each that true spirit of wrestling prayer. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. We would pray again for all affected by this virus, and it's having great effect upon many. We think especially of in the hospitals, the nursing staff, the doctors, the carers. Lord, remember them. Do help them in all that they do. Lord, to remember others who have been greatly affected in loss of employment, in loss of income, loss of loved ones, loss of livelihoods and the fret of it. Oh, what devastating effects are happening. But may our eyes ever be toward thee. And Lord, if there are any listening who who either themselves or have loved ones greatly affected by these things, do appear for them, remember them, undertake for them. Remember our rulers, our leaders, give wisdom. Oh Lord, they know not what to do. May there be some, even amongst the advisors. Oh, we think of how there was a Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Nehemiah later, in positions of authority, who had the king's ear raised up of God. And oh, what a gracious, good influence they would have. Lord, we need such in our nation at this time. And again, we look to thee. Lord, ruled and overrule. We know not the future, but all to know him who does know the future, who himself knew what he would do. Lord, do go before. Oh, remember thy people who cry unto thee. Lord, amongst thy judgments, we would be thankful for all thy mercies. Lord, that there is a throne of grace, that we have one to go to, almighty in the heavens. Oh Lord, in every time of need, in every time of trouble, in every time of distress, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Oh, to find that refuge, that place of safety, security. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And to find that refuge in Jesus. So, Lord, do be mindful, be very gracious. We would especially remember the cause that's lazy, in whose interest really we gather tonight to worship thee. Lord, had it not been for the restrictions, then there would have been a gathering there tonight. Remember this cause of truth. Remember the deacons, the officers, and grant much grace and wisdom, especially at this time concerning the services. Remember the church members and each one in the congregation. Remember, O Lord, from the youngest, the babes, to the eldest, each and every one. And we would also pray for each cause of truth as it were represented. O Lord, do look upon thy people. O Lord, it is such a sadness and grief to think of all our chapel doors closed tonight. Mercifully, not through persecution or oppression. Oh Lord, that Norbert has gone forth really, advising not to meet together, which could promote the furtherance of the spreading of this virus. And thou knowest all about it. But we do earnestly pray, Lord, that the time may soon come when these restrictions might be lifted, that once again we might be enabled to gather together in thy name. O Lord, it is what thou hast decreed for thy people, to meet together, little companies, worshipping thee in spirit and in truth. O Lord, do hasten that day. And O Lord, may no one be left to think that this is an easier way to go about worship, that one doesn't need to go to chapel. Oh, Lord, banish all such thoughts from the minds. Oh, Lord, we would be thankful where we would have that opportunity. How often it has been said, we do not appreciate what we have until it's taken away. And yet, Lord, it just brings to mind, and we think of those who, when they're on a no such restrictions as we have at this time, do not have anywhere to go. And even in our own nation, there are those who do not have a place of worship to go to, and perhaps often meet in our homes, the ones and the twos, to listen to services like this. And we know throughout the world, in various parts where thy people are unable to gather together, Lord, remember them. Once we could sympathize with them, now we empathize. We sit where they sit. And now, Lord, we understand something of it. So we pray for them. Lord, remember them. Oh, how thankful we should be, ought to be, for the blessings yet bestowed upon us. Now, Lord, do remember us and go before us and guide us by thy counsel. Lead us forth by the right way. Do help us to commit all unto thee and to trust in thee and to wait upon thee. We humbly beg the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. O ever wash us in Jesus' precious blood, which alone cleanseth from all sin. And may we be found clothed upon in his spotless righteousness, accepted in the beloved Jesus. Hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Send answers of peace and help us through this service. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We continue with hymn 261. The 261st hymn. It is the Lord, enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. It is the Lord, should I distrust or contradict his will, who cannot do but what is just and must be righteous still. It is the Lord who can sustain beneath the heaviest load, from whom assistance I obtain to tread the thorny road. It is the Lord whose matchless skill can from afflictions raise matter eternity to fill with ever-growing praise. It is the Lord, my covenant God, thrice blessed be his name, whose gracious promise sealed with blood must ever be the same. His covenant will my soul defend, should nature's self expire, and the great judge of all descend in awful flames of fire. How can my soul, with hopes like these, be sullen or repine? My gracious God, take what thou please, but teach me to resign. Now, as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I once again direct your prayerful attention to the book of Job. But this time I have felt led to chapter 42 and verses 1 and 2. The book of Job, chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. The book of Job, chapter 42, and verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. For any not listening this morning we tried to consider the words in chapter 37, verse 13. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. And I believe we began by speaking of the sovereignty of God. Well, here again in our text this evening, we have set before us the sovereignty of God in his omnipotence and in his omniscience. I know that thou canst do everything. Omnipotence, almighty power. And that no fault can be withholden from thee. Omniscience, God knowing everything. Now, I just want to speak briefly just concerning the two points here as it concerns the sovereignty of God. I know that thou canst do everything. As Jesus ascended back into heaven, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. That the Lord God is all powerful. Did not the dear disciples prove this? What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves obey him. All creatures obey him. I know that thou canst do everything. Oh, how Martha and Mary struggled when Lazarus died. And when they came to the grave, again it was Martha who spoke out, by this time he stinketh. But how the Lord Jesus, by his almighty power, Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came forth. I know that thou canst do everything. And when we think of death and life, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. I know that thou canst do everything, and oh, what a comfort this is for the tried and tempted people of God here in this wilderness below. So we're called to walk by faith and not by sight, in humble dependence upon God, to lead us forth by the right way. Oh, to be our good shepherd and to take care of us through every scene, trouble, and sorrow, perplexity, fears, enemies, oppressors, accusers. I know that thou canst do everything, the Lord able to make a way where there is no way. The Lord able to provide for the needs of his people, even when nothing can be seen. How the Lord can provide. How Moses must learn this lesson. Moses was a man of great faith, but still a man. Always still had his infirmities. And when the people lusted for flesh, the Lord said he would give them flesh, and there they were in that vast arid wilderness, that desert land. Even Moses staggered of how the Lord could provide flesh. Shall all the beasts which are there for the sacrifices, the offerings, should they be taken to be eaten? Or should the fishes of the sea be gathered together? And how even dear Moses brought a swift reproof upon himself by the Lord. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Oh, poor tried, tempted soul tonight, think of that. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? I know that thou canst do everything, all things possible with God. And then we have omniscience, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Do we not read of the Lord Jesus that he knew their faults? And I just think of that time that woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee, and how Simon, he didn't say anything as far as we can ascertain, but he fought. And he had faults against a woman. And he had faults against the Lord Jesus. If this man, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is. But Jesus did know. And Jesus, we might so speak, read his mind and even told Simon what he was thinking, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. You know, it's a very solemn, searching consideration, isn't it? That God can read our thoughts. Everyone listening tonight, perhaps there's some, as it were, present, and you're not even listening. Your thoughts have wandered off into other things. You're thinking about the morrow. You're thinking about the current events. You're thinking about this, that, or the other. Perhaps you're thinking you wish the service will soon be over. But God knows what you're thinking. And God knows the thoughts of every longing soul, every needy soul, every praying soul. And it's a great comfort to the Lord's people. You know, when Hannah went into the tabernacle to pray, oh, she poured out her heart unto God. She was in such distress. Now, Eli looked upon her, and Eli thought, but Eli misjudged. Eli thought that she had been drunken with wine. But no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have poured out my soul unto God. Now we read that her lips moved, but perhaps no words came forth. No verbal words, no oral spoken words, but oh, from her heart, her thoughts were being poured out unto God. The Lord knew all about it. Dear friends, we must be very, very careful. We can look at others, can't we? And we can think, and we think that we know, we think that we can judge, we think that we can discern. And like Eli, we could be completely wrong, utterly wrong. But God, oh, no thought can be withholden from thee. Ah, the Lord knows exactly what we're thinking. If you will, the Lord knows exactly what we're praying. The Lord knows exactly what we are concerned about. I'm just turning to Psalm 139. Oh, what words we have there. You see, the dear psalmist has been searched out. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. He goes on also to say, how precious are also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Oh, the Lord knows our very thoughts. You know, it goes deep. The Lord knows our minds. He knows our intentions. He knows all our schemes and plans. That which can be hidden from men, hidden from others, even hidden from loved ones, the Lord knows all about it. We can deceive. Sadly, all of us as sinners are deceivers. Do we not read that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and so desperately wicked. A man goes about deceiving and being deceived. Oh, God will never be deceived. Cannot deceive God. Oh, we may put on a show. We may try to act the part. We may try to make out with something, but we're not. God knows the truth. That no fault can be withholden from thee. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know. I know. I felt confirmed in reading that chapter, and I just mentioned that going through the book of Job, we have four or five speakers, as it were, apart from Job himself, and then we have his three friends. We have Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, and then we have a younger man, Elihu. Then we have the Lord speaking. The Lord speaking directly unto Job. And the opening words that the Lord spoke unto Job, we read, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? All Job had used words without knowledge. Yes, Job had said various things. Not everything that Job said was wrong, but some things Job had said, he had darkened counsel without knowledge. But now Job is brought to this, I know. He knew because God had made it known unto him. Or what do we know if we're not taught of God? What can we know spiritually if we're not taught of God? Or what can we know of spiritual life if we're yet dead in trespasses and sins? Or what can we know of the mercy of God if we feel no need of the mercy of God? What do we know of the Lord Jesus Christ if we do not know him? And I just think of that prayer of the apostle, that I may know him. Well, really, the apostle did know him. But he wanted to know more of him. And every child of God, oh, that longing, that desire, that burden, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I know. I know. Now, one of the great things the Lord will teach his people, for all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And just before I continue in that, I just think of the children, the young people, and under normal circumstances, you would be at school or college and places of education, that you might learn, that you might be taught. And in by learning and being taught, you're brought to know. Once things you did not know, and yet through education and teaching, now you do know. Your dear parents also would teach you that you might know. Or may it be a great mercy to know the Bible, the Word of God, that the Scriptures might make thee wise unto salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a great thing it is to be taught of God. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And as we so say, we come into the school of Christ. Oh, what lessons there are to be learnt there. Now the Lord, he is a good teacher, perfect teacher. And yet we prove to be very, very poor scholars. And yet, oh, the Lord will teach, he will instruct, he will bring his people to know. There are things that they must know. There are things that they will know. And the Lord will make sure that they are taught of God to know the truth. Oh, what a vital lesson this is in the day and age in which we live, to know the truth as it is in Jesus. To be brought to this, I know what is the truth. and to have the truth burnt into our hearts. Oh, no dry doctrine, no fancies, as it were, floating in our heads, but all to know the truth as it is in Jesus, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the sacred scriptures, the truth of him who is the way, the truth and the life. I know the truth. You see, Satan is a tempter, and a very, very powerful tempter. And he got into the Garden of Eden, and he questioned the Word of God. The word that your Lord spoke and commanded unto Adam, we believe unto Eve. And perhaps the Lord spoke directly to Adam and Adam told his wife Eve. It was the word of God. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, no questions. It's the word of God. But Satan came along and said, yea, hath God said. And we are living in a day, age, and generation all around us. Is that what, yea, hath God said? Man mocking the word of God, questioning the word of God, rejecting the word of God. Religious man with all of their false translations of the Bible, editing, changing the word of God to fit it in with our own feelings, our own carnal wants and lusts. Now the Lord, he will teach his people the truth. Yes, or we may find that we're being questioned. But the way that the Lord will teach his people and teach them the truth and what the truth is. Adam and Eve had such a terrible lesson to learn what the truth was, because at first they believed Satan. They thought that they would become as gods, as God. And they took in blatant disobedience to the word of God. I mean, the commandment was very simple, that they were not to take of that fruit. And in the day that they took it, they would die. But through hardness of heart and unbelief and listening to Satan, they took it and they died. Oh, what a painful lesson they had to learn of what the truth is. Now, they must learn another lesson, and it's a lesson the Lord will teach his people, and it's a vital lesson to learn. They knew that they were sinners. They knew that they had sinned against God. The moment they took of that forbidden fruit and ate it, their eyes were open, they knew that they were naked, that they had no righteousness of their own, it all gone. There was no innocence, they had sinned, and they tried to hide from God. Oh, dear soul, you cannot hide from God. I know. Oh, how the Lord will teach his people. I know that I am a sinner. A guilty sinner, we may mention this morning, he causeth it to come, his word as that arrow of conviction, or that sharp two-edged sword, how it enters in. I know that I am a sinner, a guilty sinner. Now, it is one thing just to say, I am a sinner. I think King Saul said, I have sinned. Judas Iscariot also made acknowledgement, I have sinned. Now anyone can say from their lips or from their head, I am a sinner, I have sinned. But to the child of God, I know that I am a sinner, a guilty sinner. And again, as I made mention this morning, I think in the context of the weather, the rain coming down, it has an effect. Just think of that word in Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and watereth the earth, that it may bring forth and bud to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It will have an effect. And when the Lord will cut his people down, when the Lord will convict his people of their sins, it will have an effect, a great effect. They will know the truth. And how vital to know this really fundamental truth. I know that I have sinned against God. Now, from that first conviction, thou shalt see greater evils yet. I've often compared it to a dark place, a dark room. And when one enters in, nothing can be seen. But should just a tiny flicker of light come from a little candle or the like, then a little can be seen. And the Lord, by his Spirit, he comes into the hearts of his people and he shines the light of truth. And a little can be seen of that heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, from which proceed all manner of evil things. But as that work of grace is continued and deepened, yes, thou shalt see greater evils yet. When we come back to that dark room and the little flickering candle is perhaps replaced by a stronger light, and more can be seen. And that is replaced by yet a stronger light, a more powerful light, a bright light, and more is seen. Oh, so it is in the hearts of every child of God. More and more is seen of the wickedness of our hearts, the corruptions, more sin to be confessed. I know that I am a guilty sinner. I know that I have sinned against God. You see, that young man we read of in the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus pointed him to the law, the Ten Commandments, all these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? How he trusted in his own self-righteousness. He looked at the law of God. He thought he kept it. He observed it. He obeyed it. He knew nothing of the plague of his heart. No one taught of God and taught to know the truth will be brought like a hymn writer to confess. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. Or we read of one who hates his brother is a murderer. One who looks upon a woman has already committed adultery in his heart. And how we can steal time. Oh, how we can steal things from God. And that we do not love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Nor our neighbour as ourselves. So often we put self first. But only the Lord can truly convict us sin. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve a punishment of my sins. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. A very, very solemn knowledge, this one. Or when we consider hell, eternal damnation, where neither hope nor mercy can ever, ever come. And that's what we deserve as sinners. God is so holy, so righteous, so pure, a sin-hating and a sin-punishing God. Now the Lord will bring his people to hate sin, and yet in our nature we love sin, being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Love of things of this world, sinful inclinations, sinful thoughts. By nature, we love sin. And we live in a society and a generation when sin is not only winked at, but encouraged. And how we can get caught up in these things. But God, oh, his utter hatred and abomination against sin. God cannot abide sin. Sin must be dealt with. The sinner must be punished. The sinner will be punished. and the awakened sinner knows that he deserves to be punished. The consequences of being a sinner, the wages of sin, is death. I know that I am a hell-deserving sinner. There, the Lord in his sovereignty may have his people to be for some time. Or there may be that warfare going on. The world with all its enticements and attractions still appealing, still saying, come with us. And yet that work of grace, that new man of grace, the Lord saying, come unto me. That soul, as it were, halting between two opinions. And yet really one is a way of death, and the other is the way of life. I just feel led to Proverbs chapter 7. And there we have that young man, and I believe we read of him, void of understanding. And there was that strange woman. And how she, by the flattering of her lips, by her enticements, would have her come into her home, promising all wonderful things, all carnal things, worldly things, sinful things, and yet so attractive to the flesh. And yet we read of her, or rather of her house. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Oh, and how the Lord will deliver his people from such a path. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. But hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. And how the Lord will teach his people the way of life. Now, I know that God is holy, righteous, pure, and just. And yet the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will bring every child of God to this knowledge of the mercy of God. I believe we touched upon it a little this morning. That God is merciful, the scriptures set forth, and his mercy endureth forever and ever. Oh, I know that God is merciful, but the great need is, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that cry from the heart. Oh, that cry for God to be merciful. And so that soul, where shall that soul be brought? That soul shall be brought to the throne of God's grace, to the footstool of his mercy, even to his mercy seat. That soul will be humbled under the mighty hand of God. That soul will be brought to confess their sins unto God. Oh, that soul will be a broken heart and contrite spirit. And how that soul will plead mercy, pardon. I know. And yet a further revelation by the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and so often through the scriptures, will breathe that knowledge of Christ. Oh, that knowledge of Christ as the Saviour. And how the scriptures set forth from Genesis to Revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Saviour, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that will be their great need, to be saved from all of their sins. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And by, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will lead that soul unto Christ. Oh, when we read in the Gospels, of all of those who came to the Lord Jesus, each and every one was a needy soul. And really, each and every one was a praying soul. And each and every one was blessed with that faith. That faith. I'll just mention a few. there are, I suppose, some favourites in my heart. I just think of that Syrophoenician, and she came from afar. And I just mention this, I think it's a beautiful thought. The Lord Jesus, after labouring much around Galilee, went to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. We're not told where specifically, what town. And we read in one of the accounts, and he would be hid. But he could not be hid. And look at it in the context of our text. I know that thou canst do everything, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord, nothing impossible with him, nothing he could not do, but he could not be hid. It seems a contradiction, but it's no contradiction. Because that woman was blessed with faith, and faith will always find the Saviour. And the Lord Jesus ever intended that woman to come and find him. She sought him, and she proved the truth of those words, seek and ye shall find. We're not told that she found him immediately because Jesus was hid. But you see, she sought him. She diligently sought him. She earnestly, prayerfully sought him. And she found him. Oh, she found him. And she fell down before him and poured out her soul unto him. Oh, there was that great need. Now, the Lord had given her faith, and that faith believed in him. That faith believed in the Lord Jesus, that he was able to cure her daughter. And though at first he answered her not a word, oh, how she remained and pleaded. Though the disciples would send her away, still she cried and pleaded. And when Jesus did speak, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the children of Israel, still she pleaded, Lord, help me. I know that thou canst do everything. Lord, help me. And then Jesus said, it is not meet to take of the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Truth, Lord, I know. I know I'm not worthy. I know I'm not deserving. I know I'm a poor Gentile sinner. I know something of the plague of my heart. Lord, I know it, truth, Lord. All that thou sayest, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat from under the crumbs of the master's table. O woman, great is thy faith. I know that thou canst do everything. I think also of that centurion, who one of his servants was dying, and he sent word to the Lord Jesus. He sent another servant, a messenger, and there was that cry. And he himself said, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I am a man of authority. I say to this one, do this, and he doeth it, and so on. And I did not feel worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. For I know that thou canst do everything. Faith in the Lord Jesus, that he is able. Well, we could mention others also. You see, it's that God-given faith to believe in him. Or I just think of that woman with the issue of blood. Wonderful display of faith. Poor that she was, afflicted that she was, weary as she was, broken as she was, but still she must come to him. The Lord had put it in her heart, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I know that thou canst do everything. And she came, she pressed through, and she touched, she obtained, she received, she was blessed. I know that thou canst do everything. And poor sinners coming to the Lord Jesus. Or they come to him because they believe in him. Or is that too high for some listening? And yet you come to him in humble hope that the Lord will have mercy upon you and bless you and heal you and forgive you. And so you come to him that you might obtain, that you might receive, that you might be blessed. I know that thou canst do everything, but there is none other name given us under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. who is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Able to save, believest thou this? I know that thou canst do everything. And yet, or perhaps there's a great fear and temptation with some. I know the Lord is able, but is he willing? Willing to save such a dead dog as I? Willing to save such a bad sinner as I? Willing to save such a guilty sinner as I? Ah, he is able. He is willing. Doubt no more. And is it not evidence of the Lord's willingness that you are being drawn to him? Is it not your prayer, your desire? Draw me. We will run after thee. Now, flesh and blood cannot teach thee this. Satan would never teach you that. The world will never teach you that. Your own heart would never teach you that. But it's by God's grace that the Lord's people are drawn to him. And they believe in him. And they come to him and they cry unto him. Just think of those two blind men who followed the Lord Jesus into the house. And were they not crying, Jesus, have mercy upon us? And he said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. I know that thou canst do everything. Ah, the Lord is able to bless. And like Job also proved in a few verses' time, the Lord able to turn his captivity. Perhaps there are some listening and, well, your prayer with the dear psalmist is, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. I know that thou canst do everything that I may know him. Do you long for that sight by faith of the Lord Jesus? Or do you long to know when Job, once greatly blessed by the Spirit, could proclaim, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Or to know him as my Redeemer, my Saviour. I know that thou canst do everything. My mind just seems to go to the book of Ruth. And the dear woman, Ruth herself, there at the feet of Boaz. And that petition, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. To me, it sets forth beautifully a poor sinner and a precious Jesus. And we find that poor sinner at the feet of Jesus. And we find that poor sinner at the throne of grace, and we find that poor sinner pleading with the Lord, spread therefore thy skirt over me, over my soul. Lord, take care of me, or not just providentially, but spiritually, or not concerning my body, my health, my pathway, my circumstances, oh, my never dying soul. Spread therefore thy skirt over me. Lord, I'm a poor sinner. I behold that spotless robe of thy righteousness. Oh, spread it over me. And if you will, oh, thy precious blood, spread over me, that I might be cleansed from all of my sins. Lord, take care. Don't we have there a wonderful example of what the Apostle Peter later wrote? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And there was dear Ruth in a time of need, casting all her care. It concerned her future. It concerned her life. It concerned everything. And she would cast all her care, as it were, upon Boaz. But dear friends, a greater Boaz is here. It is casting all your care upon him, proving that he careth for you. And how did Boaz reply to Ruth? I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. Or is that what you need tonight? The Lord to speak to your soul. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. I know that thou canst do everything. Save me to the uttermost. Now, another line of thought has opened up to my mind. I just think of the dear psalmist in Psalm 23. Oh, when he could feel, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I know that thou canst do everything. Do you desire to know the dear Lord as your good shepherd? Well, that evidence the Lord Jesus himself speaks of in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. O Christ, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep, who cares for his sheep, who will provide for his sheep, who will protect his sheep, who will deliver his sheep, who will do everything necessary for his sheep. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I know that thou canst do everything. The Lord is my shepherd. All that I may know him, my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, it follows, if he is our shepherd, I shall not want. No good thing shall he withhold from them who walk uprightly. And those who walk uprightly are those looking unto Jesus. Those who would hear his voice, know his will, follow him, trust in him, abide by him. Oh, tell me where thou lodgest. Oh, tell me that place where thou art found. For I know that thou canst do everything. I know that thou canst help me. I touched upon the Syrophoenician and her prayer. And is it not the prayer of every needy soul, every child of God? Have we been taught this prayer? Lord, help me. The psalmist knew it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And let me address you, let me question you. Where is your help coming from? Yes, where is my help coming from? Are we looking to that same place, if you will? Are we looking to that same fountain, that same storehouse, that same supply? Are we looking to the Lord? Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he helped them. The Lord does help those who cry to him for help. That little prayer, few little words, but oh, how profound, how deep. Lord, help me. Will the Lord deny help? Will the Lord withhold help? Though we be sinners, but do we not plead on the grounds of his mercy for Jesus' sake? Lord, for Jesus' sake, help me. I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving. The Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I know that thou canst do everything. Elijah proved it throughout his life. Oh, that famine, devastation around, and thirst at the brook Cherith. I know that thou canst do everything, but faith will be tried. If you and I are blessed with faith, it will be tried. And you see that brook, we have every reason to believe, gradually got smaller and smaller, the flow of water. And what a trial that must have been. And Elijah must look to the Lord. Where else could he go? I know that thou canst do everything. If it was the Lord's will, that water could have miraculously been enlarged again and provided for him. But no, it wasn't the Lord's will, it wasn't the Lord's way. But when the brook dried up, perhaps some of you, oh, the brook is drying up. It hasn't dried up yet. It's drying up and your faith is so sorely tried. What shall we do? What shall we do? Well, look to Jesus. Trust in him and wait thou only upon God. when the brook dried up. Then the Lord came, and the Lord directed him who said to Zarephath, Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And there was that widow woman right at the very end, at wit's end. Gorgeous, that little, in the barrel of meal and in the cruse of oil, just for one more meal, but no. The word of the Lord, I know that thou canst do everything. Oh, that there would be that sufficiency day by day. That cruse of oil, a barrel of milk, shall not fail until the Lord send rain upon the earth. For I know, oh, I know my God. He will supply every need. I know that thou canst do everything day by day to behold those miracles. And the Lord's dear people, they prove at times day by day our wonder-working God. That wonderful word in Ephesians 3, I think verse 20. You see, the apostle himself proved it. He knew. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I understand that as a power of prayer, through the power of faith, made known by the power of God, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think. Just one more thought before we close. I know that thou canst do everything. Well, dear Jacob, he had many troubles, many trials. And in the depths of that famine which came upon him, oh, how he came to that place. And he cried out, all these things are against me, everything had gone wrong. And perhaps the enemy roaring, where is now thy God? Oh, how he must have struggled with the sovereignty of God, the will of God, the ways of the Lord, past finding out, what shall we do? What shall we do? Jacob was determined that Benjamin should not go down. But Benjamin had to go down. And then, oh, Jacob was blessed with that knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I believe that verse in Romans 8 begins, and we know. It may be at this present time we're struggling with those first few words, and we know, we would know, we desire to know, but oh, we look at our situation, we look at our trouble, we look at our problems, we look at our impossibilities, we look at our difficulties, and we just cannot see how ever these things can work together for good. You leave it all with God. Leave God to order all thy ways and trust in him. Whate'er betide, thou wilt find him in the evil days, thy all-sufficient strength and guide, because I know that thou canst do everything. It's one of the sins of the children of Israel in the wilderness, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Oh, may the Lord grant us that faith to believe in him. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Lord, add his blessing. Amen. Our closing hymn this evening is number 329. Hymn 329. Sorry, I've just noticed I have a notices to read. If the Lord will, concerning the friends at Swayze, using the same means as today, that Mr. Stephen Rosier will preach on Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the evening. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day in the morning at 10:30, in the evening at 6:30. Hymn 329. how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? In every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home or abroad, on the land, on the sea, as thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow. For I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. E'en down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not. I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. Lord, we do thank thee for thy precious word of truth. And bless it to our souls. Oh, grant to us each that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, to know him as our Saviour, our Shepherd, our all in all. Lord, lead us forth by the right way. We know not the future, but all to know him. Lord, remember us, help us, bless us. And bless thy word and bless thy people. Forgive our every sin and crown thy gospel with success. And may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.